Kamala Harris thinks that she can just giggle her way to the White House. That seems to be the strategy. Every interview, every appearance, every rally, every speech, it's cackle town. And now she goes on Oprah in some big celebrity-attended interview, and it's just nothing but giggles and cackles. It's just embarrassing. This is a very unserious woman. All right, we are live. But she's a prosecutor. Or, as Tim Walz said, a prostitute-er. Tim Walz' words. I'm just quoting Tim Walz, vice president nominee, Tampon Tim. We are live on this Friday, September 20th, 2024 edition of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, your election headquarters with 46 days to go. 46 days to go until the presidential election. There is a couple big stories, because at the end of the day, what is this really going to come down to? Is it Trump versus Harris? Well, not really. It's how are the ballots going to be counted and what ballots are going to be counted? So there's a couple important news stories dealing with that. One in Georgia that favors Trump. I already had Trump winning Georgia anyway, but this, I would say, maybe assures that. And then one in Pennsylvania, which I don't think swings Pennsylvania yet. I still have Harris winning Pennsylvania, but if this becomes a trend, what happened today? Pennsylvania back in play for Trump, I would say. So we'll have that. Now, I do have a light news desk. We do have a lot of video clips, but a light news desk. I want to take a ton of calls today. I'm not sure we took a single call this week. So we're going to take a bunch of calls today. Now, from the White House, I think we get an idea of what's really going on. Joe Biden has, for all intents and purposes, given up. Jill Biden is now, I guess, acting as president, or at least pretending to. And I guess for her, this is really where she's always wanted to be. She's always wanted to be the center of attention. She's always wanted to be the belle of the ball. And so now, with just a couple months or a month and a half or so until the election, she's running the show. She's pretending to be president. It's just a big act. It's just a big game. But she's loving it. And this is what it's all about right now. This is all a show. And I got a couple of clips to kind of show that. Even Kamala Harris on Oprah and the Giggle Factory. It's just a show for these people. And everything they say about Trump is true about them. Trump's selfish. He's only doing this for himself. No, that's you. You're selfish. You're only doing this for yourself. You think this is a reality show and you're the main character. You don't really give a damn about policy. You don't give a damn about the country, foreign issues, foreign affairs. You don't give a damn. You only care about yourself being the story, getting into the history books and all the fanciful galas and international intrigue and events. That's what you're doing. You're just on a world tour of yourself. And so now it's President Jill Biden, and it's such a farce that they're even putting her name on the official presidential letterhead now. That's where we're at. So, okay, I guess we know who's running the White House. It's Jill Biden. Now, she's not running any foreign policy, but I guess she's running the White House. So good for her. So she can take some of those ugly dresses and make them ugly curtains, I suppose. So we got that. We got some other clips coming up and a ton of phone calls on this Friday edition of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. The Democrat Cringe Factory Giggle Fest rides on. The destruction of the country continues with these clowns, these pathetic excuses for Americans. And now we have 45 days, 8 hours, and 53 minutes to kick them the hell out of the White House. This has been such a long election cycle, and I was talking to a friend about this earlier. This has been such a long election cycle, it's almost like I can't even believe it. Does it feel like we're 45 days out? Or does it feel we're going to be stuck in this forever? But no, it's 45 days and some odd hours now. And Jill Biden is now running the White House. They put her name on the official presidential letterhead seal. It's on the official leather handouts that they give to the media and the diplomats and everybody that comes in for meetings now. They put Jill Biden on there. So that's what's going on at the White House. That's the big priority. Can't secure the border, but we can get Jill Biden's signature on presidential leather-bound letterhead. So glad. So glad that that's going on. And now they're celebrating her, of course. They're celebrating her work for women, they say. She's been such a fierce fighter for women, they say. Such a fierce fighter that now your women's bathrooms and women's sports, you might see a man walking around. Because, you know, fighters like Jill Biden, so good for women. So, okay, who's running the White House? The answer is Jill Biden. Maybe that was the aim from the very beginning. Maybe that was her aim from the very beginning. I wonder what deals have been cut behind the scenes, though. Because Biden's obviously done. He's given up. He couldn't care less at this point. He's just riding it out into the sunset. But I wonder what kind of deals have been cut. Do we fully expect the pardon of Hunter Biden? I would say it's likely. But what is Joe's final revenge here? Is it Kamala Harris? The Democrats run the coup, so he says, okay, I'm going to give you Kamala. Good luck with that. Is it Joe just sabotaging and doing nothing in his final days as a lame duck president that is just embarrassing for the Democrat Party? He's just like, oh, I'll do whatever I want. Hell, I'll put Jill Biden on the presidential letterhead. How do you like that? And you know what? She's running the international meetings now, okay? I'm going to go take a nap. You guys don't want me. Here's Jill. Have fun. I've been listening to this woman for, what have they been married, like 40, 50 years? I've been listening to her shrill, annoying voice for decades. You guys have fun. I'm out. Peace. Nappy time for Joe. Or maybe he'll go to the beach this weekend. Then there's Kamala. This cringe giggle factory keeps getting worse. She goes on Oprah and it's this star-studded audience. So many celebrities and influentials. And you go there and it's Oprah and Kamala just cackling and giggling like schoolgirls. It's all a big joke. It's all a big joke on the American people. Oprah knows damn well what Kamala Harris is. In Tim Walz's words, a prostitutor. Oprah knows damn well. This is the woman that hangs out with Harvey Weinstein. This is the woman that hangs out with P. Diddy. This is the woman that hangs out with all these degenerates and alleged sex abusers and traffickers. That's Oprah Winfrey. She knows exactly who Kamala Harris is. And it's this big giggle girl fest, like they're in the bathroom painting their nails and it's all a big joke. Oh, the American people suffering, they don't care. Oh, the open border invasions, they don't care. Oh, all the wars, they don't care. And, you know, there's a couple clips that kind of highlight this, actually. How about in Springfield, where they're talking about the Haitians coming and taking the jobs from the Americans? What have we been saying, I mean, really, for years, but really highlighting it with the Springfield story, what have we been saying about the illegal aliens taking the jobs? That's what's going on here is cheap labor. All these people are benefiting from the open borders. It's an entire economy. So here's one man in Springfield saying, yes, they're coming here and they're getting our jobs, clip 10.
Jobs are getting took up, man. You know, all these, you say our factory needs 50 people. That could be 50 Americans that don't have a job. Instead, the Haitians, they take exactly all those 50 spots, man. So that's 50 people that don't have a job.
What about in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, where children are getting kicked out of their schools, of the communities they were born in, raised in, grew up in, live in? Illegal alien gets shipped in by the Democrats, and then the little girl gets kicked out of school. First, she has to ride with the 20-year-old, you know, a little 14-year-old girl trying to go to high school. She has to ride on the bus with a 20-year-old man that's going to bully her. And then she finds out, you know what, you're actually just out. You know what, you don't like that bus experience? Why don't you just go ahead and get on out of here? How about this from a mother in clip 14?
Devastated because we own our house, we've lived here, we're family. We're done lose everything down here. If this factory, I'm not saying in this town, I'm not. My child already lost 2 years of school. She's so far behind. She was supposed to go to Head Start, and they told her she couldn't go 2 weeks before school start because 20 immigrants came in and took her out of school. So we lost 2 years of school, so why would I want to stay in this town?
It's really sad what has happened to my hometown. I mean, it's hard for me to drive through here and just see what's left of it. And, you know, I've said before, this is beyond immigration. At this point, it feels like an invasion.
It is an invasion. It is a Democrat Party invasion of illegal immigrants. It is the largest invasion in world history. It's being done for demographic reasons. It's being done for political reasons. It's being done for financial reasons. And you, the American, you, the local resident of these small towns, you don't matter. You don't come into the equation. You need to just get out of the way and shut up. The invasion is here. And it pisses me off because I have all these videos. The Democrats talk about funding for this. They talk about funding for that. President Jill Biden wants funding for women's studies. Ron Rowe, the Secret Service director, during a press conference today, which is basically a nothing burger, they said, we're going to punish people for the failures in Secret Service. Oh, really? Months later. Got you. Thanks for the update. And he wants more money. Everybody wants more money. Oh, well, how about the $200 billion that you sent to Ukraine? That money could have been used, but no, had to send it to Ukraine. How's that going? What about the hundreds of billions that we spend on illegal immigration? That money could have been used for things that might benefit Americans, but no. No, had to spend it on the non-citizens, the criminal. Border crossers. See, it's just like, money just grows on trees. I just want money for this, money for that. Like President Jill Biden. Like President Jill Biden here in clip 6.
She's talked about the fact that sometimes the White House, in her words, surprises you. And for somebody who has worked on women's health issues for her whole career, frankly, as a teacher, but also as the second lady and now as the first lady, she said
pause one of the things that struck. Just rewind it a second. Jill Biden has worked on women's health issues her whole career. I mean, listen to this fluff job. What has Jill Biden done for women's health issues? Please. Give me one example. Who had even heard of Jill Biden ever until, 4 years ago, really, probably? Jill Biden, she's done so much for women's health issues. What has she done? No, it's just, let's just fluff her up. She's amazing. Jill Biden can fly. Jill Biden knows how to fly. Jill Biden can heal wounds with a touch of her hand. Jill Biden has telekinesis powers. Jill Biden can see the future. Jill Biden is Wonder Woman. She's done so much for women's health issues. What? Just existing. That's all a liberal has to do. all a liberal Democrat has to do is just exist. And the mainstream media just drool. Oh, my God. Oh, it's Jill Biden. And she's done so much for women's health issues. Just look at her. But see, oh, then she gets into it. We need equity. And this guy's commenting on what Jill Biden is talking about. She's the president now. We need equity. We need money for women's studies. Go ahead.
Women's health issues for her whole career, frankly, as a teacher, but also as the second lady and now as the first lady. She said one of the things that struck her the most was the inequities in medical research, funding for medical research for women. So this is an important priority of hers that she had the opportunity to at this cabinet meeting to spotlight. And as you had that great interview with her, Peter, talking about the fact that, yes, a burden may have been lifted from her husband's shoulder in one respect with the end of his campaign, but there's still a lot of work that they both intend to do during their last few months.
Wow, nice. Even the MSNBC field reporter is going with the, there's still work to be done. That's one of the big Democrat Party lines right now. Work to be done. Work to be done. Things are so great because they're running against themselves. They're the incumbents. They're not running on the success of 4 years as president. They're running against the 4 years they've had in the White House. But they're saying, well, we're doing good, but there's still work to be done. So that's basically like, yeah, we failed miserably, but just elect us again. I should be the Democrat Party propaganda translator. Diversity. Less white people. Still work to be done. We failed miserably, but elect us again anyway. It's like all these little buzzwords, all these little catchphrases, they all mean something entirely different. Threat to democracy. Threat to the corrupt establishment. You need to understand this. But Jill Biden wants more money for women's studies. Well, again, it's this concept. And maybe it's how they were brought up. I don't know. It's this concept of just money forever. Where do you get the money? Where do you get the money? We want more money for women's studies and women's issues. Okay, what money? Where are you getting the money? Oh, we'll just get the money. We just need more money. We just want more money. Where? Where are you getting the money from? No, what do you mean? We just get the money. We just need to give them more money. They just are entitled to your money, or they just believe they just have unlimited amount of money to just give whatever they want. And maybe they do. Can you just decide you're going to wake up? I'm just going to go get that fancy car I've always wanted. I'm going to go get that big mansion on the lake that I've always wanted. Where are you going to get the money? You know what? I'm sick and tired of not living in a beachfront mansion. My lack of a beachfront mansion, my lack of funding, I need more funding for a beachfront mansion. We need more funding for women's studies. Well, you just spent $200 billion on this war, spent another $30 billion on that war, spent another $300 billion on the illegal immigrants. Boy, we're up to about $1 trillion. We're talking some serious money now, but we need more. We need money for women's studies. This idea, oh, just money, 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 money. And then Kamala Harris says, we are going to tax unrealized capital gains. So in other words, they want to reach into your pocket and take your money and spend it on frivolous nothings. But hey, that's President Jill Biden, a hero for women's health. Didn't you hear CNN? Didn't you hear MSNBC? She is a hero. So all of this is going on. The country's being invaded. People are suffering financially. Here's another perfect example. A CNN, I don't know if she's normally on CNN. I think she's been around maybe like Huffington Post and some other liberal outlets. Now I guess she's doing street interviews for CNN. She goes to the beach and she talks to Trump supporters. You got to understand the mindset of a liberal. Oh, money, just, oh, money, money, money. Yeah, you mean just steal my money and just give it to your friends? We need more money for women's studies. Where are you going to get the money? Well, we're going to reach into the American people's pockets. Oh, okay. Already struggling enough, but yeah, okay. Go ahead. So this woman goes to the beach, interviews a guy. You got to understand what's in these people's heads and why they should be nowhere near power and why their policies should never exist in the United States of America. So CNN goes to the beach and talks to a Trump supporter and listen to what she says and what she assumes, because she assumes he owns a boat. So listen to this, clip 7.
What's your most important issue?
The economy, getting the interest rates down, getting it to where we can afford to live in America. Right now, it's too expensive.
Okay, now let me maybe ask like a slightly impolite question. But, you know, if you can afford a boat, you're not hurting so bad, right? Because a boat costs a lot of money and it's a lot of upkeep.
Listen, nobody gave me shit. I earned everything that I've got. I'm retired military, retired power plant, and I am successful and retired and with boats, jet skis, because I did it right. And everybody has that chance. Whether they choose or not, that's up to them.
I would never try to take anything away from you in that way. But what I'm asking is, groceries are probably a smaller part of your budget than, say, you know, someone who's like a little worse off. I think it's interesting that people who are a little bit more comfortable are still so concerned about the economy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because I want my money to go further. I want inflation to go down. I want interest rates to go back down. I want all that. But that covers everybody in the economy. Not just me, not just the poor, not just the rich. It covers everybody.
Now, something I've heard from some people, tell me if this applies to you, is like they're worried their kids aren't able to afford a house or a car.
Well, I train my kids and taught my kids properly. They have great educations, and they're both successful in their careers. Actually, they're doing better than me.
Now, this is so important right here. I knew I'd seen that goofball somewhere, Vice, that's where it was, when Tim Cook had the dilated pupils, like he just took, you know, like an eighth of mushrooms or something. That interview is actually so important to understand the mind of these liberals, folks. It might even be one of the most important 60 seconds of the liberal mindset that you could ever see. She says to him, you own a boat, so you must be doing well. So that's right out of the gates, pretty broad assumption, but maybe fair. Maybe it's fair. But okay, so right out of the gates, just assuming things about somebody right out of the gates. But then says, well, you have a boat, so you must be doing well. So why do you care? What? Why does he care? Why wouldn't he care? Think about what she just projected. This is the epitome of liberal elitism. And it will, and when you understand this, you understand why every single Democrat city goes to shit. She says, you're doing great. Why do you care about the poor? Because that's how they think. That's how these rich liberal elites think. They don't care what their policies do. They don't care what the results of them being in power are. They're rich. They're doing great. They live in mansions. They have bodyguards. They have boats. They have gigantic refrigerators. They've got everything they need. They don't care about the poor. She just said it all right there. Hey, you're rich like me. What do you care about the poor? That's it. That's all you need to know about these people. From that dingbat CNN reporter all the way to the top with Kamala Harris. That's everything you need to know about the liberal elite right there. Hey, what do you care about the economy being bad? You got a boat? Who cares? We care about the country and we care about our fellow Americans. But B, what are you saying? Are you saying that you, because you're a rich liberal, you don't care about the results of your policies? You don't care about the 20% inflation? You don't care about the 20% increase in the price of living? energy bills, grocery bills. You don't care. Thank you. I'm telling you. That is the most important 60 seconds going into the mind of the liberal elite that you could ever see. Hey, guy, you're a Trump supporter. I'm a Harris supporter, but we're both rich. What do you care about these poor people? What do you mean the economy's bad? Economy's doing great for you. You're out here with a boat and a jet ski. Who cares about the economy for these stupid poor folk? Come on, man. What do you care? We're out on the beach. We're rich. Come on. That is the epitome of the liberal elite. That is the mindset that has crushed the economy. And see, because in their mind, they're, oh, what I'm doing is so great. Oh, what I'm doing is so great. I'm fighting for diversity, and I'm fighting for women's rights and trans rights and trans kids. And I'm a bleeding heart liberal progressive, and I'm changing things. Yeah, honey, but don't you realize these people out here are really struggling to pay for groceries and afford their mortgages and insurance. I mean, the economy's tanking out there. Excuse me, sir. Don't you see I'm on the beach in a boat? You want to talk to me about the economy? I have $500 sunglasses on, okay? This is a designer swimsuit. Okay. When I finish this interview, I'm going to go on my friend's yacht. What do you care about the economy? We're rich. Oh, liberal. Oh, isn't it so great being rich and liberal? Not really, honey. You're crushing the economy. What do you mean? I'm rich. The economy's great. Oh my gosh.
I wish I could find a way to like encapsulate that and just like just shoot it into the American consciousness. I'm telling you, it's so important to understand this about the mind of a liberal. And most people in America will probably have times of ups and downs, financial good times, bad times, social good times, bad times, personal, but I mean, that's probably just life anywhere. But clearly, it's the conservative that has, it's the right wing, it's Donald Trump himself that has the connection to humanity, that has the human touch, that never loses that on the ground feeling, that human relation. Doesn't matter whether it's a billionaire living in a penthouse or a person living paycheck to paycheck in small town America. We want the same things. We feel the same way. We care about one another. There's a story about Donald Trump and his father that we'll play that highlights that exact same thing. So, but it's like, how do I properly encapsulate this? I mean, really, I want to play the clip again because I'm just telling you, it's so important to understand this about the liberal elite. They really do not get it. She says, you have a boat. What do you care about the state of the economy? I mean, the disconnect. The just total disconnect. Play it again for me one more time. I'm telling you, this is the most important 60 seconds from the minds of a liberal elite to understand why they destroy everything. And they don't even, they're just completely disconnected from reality, completely disconnected from the common man. Play it again.
What's your most important issue?
The economy, getting the interest rates down, getting it to where we can afford to live in America. Right now, it's too expensive.
Okay, now, let me maybe ask like a slight impolite question.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, just pause it, rewind it. Just go back. Even the way... Like, I'm up here like I'm doing a joke in the last segment. She actually does that. Yeah, but let me just, like, what do you care? It's like a sketch comedy show. Yeah, but what do you care? I mean, oh my gosh. I'm telling you, folks, this is the mind of the liberal elite. They are completely disconnected.
They do not know or care the results of their policies as long as they feel good about it and it doesn't affect them. Go ahead.
Let me maybe ask like a slightly impolite question. But, you know, if you can afford a boat, you're not hurting so bad, right? Because a boat costs a lot of money and it's a lot of upkeep.
Listen,
okay, so
nobody
that's good.
Gave me.
So that's good. I mean, obviously you're doing fine, so what do you care? What? That's like, see, I'm telling you, this is such a psychological thing. It's so important. This is the broken mind of a liberal. And that's just politically. Honestly, this even goes back to the video that we covered earlier this week where that woman gets beaten up in broad daylight and nobody helps her. Honestly, it's the same psychology. You have a boat and a jet ski, so you're doing fine. What do you care? I'm not the person getting beat up by an illegal immigrant in downtown New York City. I don't care. Ew. It's the same psychology, folks. It's the complete disconnect. It's this, it's such a self-isolation from the world around you. It's a total disconnect with your fellow human. Ah, I'm not the one getting beat up and stomped on by an illegal immigrant in New York City. I don't want anything to do with that. Gross. Ah, you have a boat and a jet ski. What do you care if the economy's good or bad? Ah. It's the same psychology. It's the disconnect from your fellow man. It's the disconnect from your fellow human. It's the self-isolation of not realizing, no, it does affect you, even if it doesn't directly affect you. And the liberal elite, the liberal mind doesn't get it. They are disconnected. And, you know, yeah, there's the political aspect, but you know what? This is, there's the technological aspect with the smartphones and the TVs and the chemicals in the food and the water. But I'm telling you, that's everything you should ever hear right there, and you understand the liberal elite. What's your number one concern? Well, I'm really concerned about the economy. Yeah, but, I mean, you have a boat, so why do you care about the economy? Wow. That's everything. That's everything. As long as the liberal elite, as long as the Democrat progressive are rich, as long as they can have their sex orgies during COVID, as long as they can have their mansions and mega parties while the rest of the country is suffering financially, as long as they don't have the illegal aliens invading their towns, their fancy neighborhoods, then it's all fine. So they don't care if they crush you. They don't care if they send illegal aliens into your town. They don't care if your city is riddled by crime and poverty. As long as it doesn't impact them, as long as it doesn't affect them, then what do you care? That is the liberal mind. That is the liberal elite psychology. Okay, I think we've worn that out. But see, it's all funny. It's all funny. It all comes back to this. I've got one clip. The whole damn Oprah Kamala Harris interview was just a cringe factory giggle fest. That's all this woman can do is laugh. Everything's funny to Kamala Harris. She's the worst comedian ever. She laughs at her own jokes every time. So here it is. And I mean, then there's what she says. Oh, she loves, Kamala Harris loves guns now, folks. Clip two.
At the I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
But you.
I mean, okay. Somebody breaks into Kamala Harris's house, they're getting shot. Yeah, probably by her personal security guards. It's all a big joke. It's all a big joke. What an excellent screenshot that is. Yeah. And then there's a
a black man sitting in the front row like, oh, my God. In fact, if you go back and you look, I bet the crew can find the clip easily. At the end of the Harris National Association of Black Journalists interview, she shakes their hands and then she does like her peacock walk off the stage. And then the camera angle flips to the black journalist that interviewed her, and they all look at one another and they're like, we're screwed. You can see like this moment, they make eye contact and they're like, this woman is so phony. She's just such a fake. This giggle fest campaign tour that she's on. What is so funny? Yeah, here it is right here. You'll see at the end of this clip, they'll pan the camera to the right after she peacocks off the stage, and they all look at one another like, what in the hell? Oh, my. This is just, honestly, it's the worst candidate in the history of American politics, and it's not even close. She's on a giggle factory campaign tour. What is so funny, woman? What is so funny? The cost of groceries up 20%. Consumer price index up 20%. Interest rates up. Credit card rates up. Inflation up. Everything up. But it's not affecting Kamala Harris, so it's funny. What does she care? It's funny. Jill Biden's running the White House. It's funny. Oh, but Trump's the threat to democracy. See? Trump's the threat to democracy. So Fox News sent a reporter to the Capitol, and Democrats don't even back off. Trump is still the biggest threat to democracy. They ask Hank Johnson. You know, he seems like a nice guy, but, you know, probably not the brightest in Congress. He thinks islands float. So you can just start and end right there. That's the IQ level of a Hank Johnson Democrat, thinks islands float. That's in congressional record, said it on congressional testimony. That's fun. But listen, it's Jayapal and all of them. It's like, hey, do you want to back off the rhetoric now that, you know, you guys are trying to get Trump killed? Do you think they back off of it? Do you think they back off of it here in clip 8?
If you think it's time for Democrats to stop calling Trump a threat to democracy.
No, fact of the matter is that he is a threat to democracy.
No, I think we should be clear that he is a threat to democracy.
Do you think that the rhetoric, though, needs to be toned down?
I think his rhetoric should be toned down, absolutely.
Listen, these are the facts. He is a threat, period, point blank.
Man, how do you even respond to that? He's a threat to democracy. How many votes did Kamala Harris get? He's a threat to democracy. They don't even want voter ID. They don't even want proof of citizenship. They want Trump dead. They want Trump dead. They don't even hide it anymore. They don't give a damn. Pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious at this point, isn't it? It's pretty, pretty obvious. It's just like that guy we played yesterday. There is a division. The division is pretty clear. It's good versus evil. It's common sense versus nonsense. It's death versus life. It's poverty versus prosperity. But it's, these Democrats are just outright evil people. And they say Trump needs to tone down the rhetoric. Well, what left are we to do but to call you out? You want Trump dead. You want Trump supporters dead.
You want the country dead. You want the economy to collapse. You want our borders wide open. You want crime rates to skyrocket. And you sit here after multiple assassination attempts on Donald Trump, after thousands of assaults on Trump supporters, and you point the finger at us? At us? Is this Jasmine Crockett standing up for Diddy? Wow. Jasmine Crockett standing up for Diddy. Okay. Let's see how that one goes for you. Let's see how that one goes for you. It's really hard to believe, isn't it? It's really hard to believe that these people are anywhere near power. It's really hard to believe that these people have governing powers over you. It's really hard to believe these people sit in Congress. It's hard to believe these people are in the American media. Outright liars, outright scumbags, outright degenerates, outright phonies. And they sit there perched on top of you, pointing the finger at you, crapping on you. Unbelievable. But this is why they are less popular than they've ever been. They are a joke. The vast majority of Americans see them for what they are. Total scumbags, total liars. That's why when Tim Wall's wife, who's a freak show of her own, tries to have a rally event, she gets shouted down by Trump supporters in clip four.
Bring her back. And that's what teachers do. We find ways to make a difference. That's what all of you do, and that's why you're here tonight. We believe in each other. We see the potential in one another. And we see the potential for a brighter and a different and a hopeful future that includes all of us. Yes. So here's the thing. People in Minnesota, you might have heard this thing, Minnesota nice. That we're very nice, kind people. Well, Tim and I are, I hope. We try to be. But here's what I say.
Oh, man. I've got mixed emotions about that one because you hear the Trump supporter on the bullhorn and it's fun and you like it. But then you see that dingbat talking. I just, man, oh, man. It's like you feel that you're so close. You can almost taste it. You're so close. You can almost touch it. Just having real leadership. Common sense leadership, common sense policies, getting these frauds, these phonies, these crooks, these liars out of our way. It's like we're just so close. We are just so close. And it's like, is this, please let this be the final stage of the Democrat Party politically. Please, Tim Walz and Harris and Biden and whatever Walz's wife, let this be it. Please get these people out of our way. Jasmine Crockett with her 10 pounds of makeup on her face and her 10-pound wig. Please let this be the end of them. I don't want to deal with them even anymore politically. Maxine Waters with her fried fish face and her James Brown wig. Please let this be the end of them politically. Just get them out of our way. We just want to have prosperity. We just want to have a country. We just don't want liars and crooks running our government. Why is this so hard? Why is that so much to ask for? Just like so close. It's like right there. And you got Vivek Ramaswamy going on these podcasts talking about completely shutting down the federal government. Yes. He talks about just ending all diversity hiring practices. Yes. Like, duh, common sense for the 21st century, here we are. Here's another example of how phony they are. A CNN panelist is on air with Nancy Mace, calls her a white supremacist and a racist, then goes on to pose for pictures and hit on her. Nancy Mace enters this into the congressional record with the text, clip 11.
I would like to also enter into the record a screenshot of a text message I received from the esteemed professor from Vanderbilt, Michael Eric Dyson, after my CNN interview, begged me for photos. In this text, he says, after calling me a racist on CNN, shh, don't tell anybody, we look good together, and sent me a kissy emoji.
Without objection.
Then the guy says I'm gorgeous in all these photos. I don't think he's that bent out of shape on how anyone pronounces Kamala. And if we're going to have that standard, you got to hold it to both sides, not just one or the other.
So, he goes on CNN, she's a white supremacist, she's evil, she's a racist. And then the segment is over, the act is over, the theater is done, and he tries to sleep with her. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He wanted to sleep with her. It's all an act, folks. These people are all phonies. They're all frauds. It was funny, when I met Van Jones, pretty cool guy, pretty nice guy, easy to talk to, easy to get along with, actually agreed on a lot of things. But when he's on CNN, he's got to put on the act. Remember the Undercover Project Veritas video? Van Jones admits the whole Russian collusion thing is fake, goes on air the next day, talks about Russian collusion, biggest threat to our country. These people are all phonies. They're all phonies. Get out of our way, phonies. Get out of our way. We are ready to rebuild. We are ready to restore. We are ready to reconstitute. Get out of our way. The game is over. The act is over. The theater is closed. We're drawing the curtain on all of this. It's done. Go play plastic politics. Go play little tykes politics. Go do your little act. Go do your little theater. Go have your little sex orgies. Whatever it is you want to do, go ahead. That's fine. Get out of our way. We're building the future. Get out of our way. Serious people are taking back control. We've let you have control for too long. You're done. You're done. But you see what a big phony act it is? She's a racist. She's a white supremacist. She's a Nazi. We can't have these types of people involved. I can't believe she's in Congress. Ridiculous. All right, and that's a clear.
Hey, so Nancy, you look really good. What are you doing tonight? You want to hang out? Maybe get a nightcap? What do you think, babe?
Whole thing's an act. He knows damn well she's not a racist. He knows damn well she's not a white supremacist. He's an actor on CNN. And people watch that and they think it's serious. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Nancy Mace, a black guy, said she's a racist. A black guy said she's a white supremacist. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there's those damn Republicans again. Those racist Republicans again. Those white supremacist Republicans again. Gee, golly, I can't vote for them. Whole thing's an act. Van Jones. Oh, Trump, Russia collusion. Trump, Russia collusion. Trump, Russia collusion. Off air. Yeah, whole thing's fake. But the people that listen. Oh, wow, Trump-Russia collusion. Oh, my gosh, Robert Mueller. Oh. Like, why? But see, it all goes back to the liberal psychology. Why do you want to live in this fake world? Why do you want to live in this world that doesn't exist? Why do you want to build all these papier-mâché houses? Why do you want to have a house of cards? Why do you want a wax statue of yourself? Because it doesn't impact them. They don't care. As long as it doesn't impact them, they do not care. It's not real. So you see, it's the same thing. Why do you care about the economy? You have a boat. Yeah, I know I called you a white supremacist. I didn't mean that. I actually think you're kind of hot. Let's go. Want to go check out my apartment? Just they do not care. Total disconnect.
All right, I'm going to open up the phone lines. We still got a lot here. But I am going to open up the phone lines in the second hour. We do have a guest coming up who just got back from Ohio with just incredible footage of what's going on there. I mean, this thing, folks, independent journalists all flooded Springfield, Ohio, and every single one of them just got total just verification of everything Trump's talking about, basically. Everything we knew is going on, everything that Democrats are trying to cover up. But it's happening in all these towns. Springfield was just like the portal that opened it up. And now it's now people are looking at it in Pennsylvania and other states as well. So we got that coming up. But we will open the phone calls, open the phone lines in the second hour as well. Folks, remember to shop at InfoWarsStore.com. Right now, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is in stock, but it sells out fast, especially when it's 40% off. Tastes great. Good for you. One scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com. More than 100% your daily value of vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, vitamin C, and so much more in one scoop. Tastes great. Good for you. Vitamin Mineral Fusion. 40% off right now while in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
A massive crowd of nearly 47 people has turned out here in Michigan to watch this cackling dingus explain how unions work. Let's listen carefully as the most intelligent woman in the Democratic Party explains collective bargaining to union leadership.
I understand the concept and the noble concept behind collective bargaining. And here it is. Here it is. Fairness.
Yeah.
Fairness.
Wow, that was truly inspirational. I can't believe anyone would call her a diversity hire. Even Tampon Timmy is applauding her epic insights. Let's see if this cackling dingus has any more words of wisdom for us common folks.
So collective bargaining is about saying, let the collective come together around a common experience, which at its core is about dignity.
Well, if the president thing doesn't work out for her, Kamala could always become a rocket surgeon. Oh, there goes Tampon Timmy, applauding again, like someone just invented a urinal that dispenses free maxi pads. But you know, Timmy is a war hero. No, he's never been to an actual war zone, but he did go to Minneapolis in 2020. We should give him a silver star. But let's not get distracted by Tampon Timmy's tales of National Guard parking lot warfare. We've all come here to listen to this cackling dingus explain how unions work. Take it away, Kamala.
It's about saying, hey, in a negotiation, don't we all believe the outcome should be fair? And then let the people come together to negotiate so you make the balance. And then the outcome will be fair. And
you know, we should really add Kamala to Mount Rushmore, right between Teddy Roosevelt and Nancy Pelosi. What a national treasure she is. Can we please have a second helping of word salad, Kamala?
Because you walk your walk. You walk your walk. And what we know, like we have talked about, we got 89 days to get this done. You know, the one thing about all of us is we like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work is good work. The thing that we like about hard work is we have fun doing hard work.
You know, Kamala should be in front of the camera more often. She's so intelligent and graceful, I can't believe she doesn't do more interviews.
She's not doing any news conference. You know why she's not doing it? Because she can't do a news conference. She doesn't know how to do a news conference. She's not smart enough to do a news conference.
Think about this leader that's very simple.
Simple? Huh. That's a very nice way to say it, Mr. Manpon. I was thinking incompetent.
89 days to make Kamala Harris the next president of the United States. Harris the next president of the United States.
We call her the first loser. She was the first loser, and I'm sorry, we need smart people.
What do you mean, Donnie? You can see the intelligence on her face.
Well, I mean, clearly Kamala Harris's superior intellect should get it right to the White House. This is it's the giggle campaign. Don't you know? It's the laugh factory cackle campaign. She's going to laugh her way all the way to the White House because nothing is serious. Nothing is real to these people. Nothing. As long as it doesn't affect them, it's all good. The illegal aliens aren't in their town. They're not getting crushed by the bad economy. So they don't care. And it was, what was her name? Elle Reeve, Vice News, CNN, that she said it. And she was talking to the Trump supporters at the beach. She basically said, hey, as long as our policies don't impact us, we don't care. Everything you need to know about a liberal progressive elite right there. That's how they all truly think. That's how they all truly feel. And that's why they shouldn't be anywhere near power. That's why we need to have plastic politics for Democrats so they can feel like they're governing, so they can feel like they're politicking, but nobody actually gets hurt. Everybody stays safe that way. Oh my gosh. I'm about to open up the phone lines. I haven't even gotten to this election news yet. I'm sorry, it's just true, folks. Democrat voters are the dumbest people in the country. And the evidence is just overwhelming. There's this viral post. It's going everywhere right now. And the liberals think they figured it out. They think that they finally got it. The logical what they think is illogical conclusion of Elon Musk here. Because he's supporting Trump and talking about illegal immigration. And so I just sent you guys this tweet. It's totally viral. It'll be like 50 million views probably. And this girl says, I don't understand why Elon Musk is talking about immigration so much like he isn't one himself. And the liberals are all eating it up. They're all eating it up in the replies. They're all retweeting it like, ah, yes, ha ha, we got him. Yes, we own you, Elon Musk. We outsmarted you, conservatives. Ah, ha ha, yeah. You just owned yourself. If you are too stupid, if you are too much of a political mongoloid to know the difference between illegal immigrants and immigrants, or maybe even more specifically, Elon Musk and a third world import that cooks cats, then yeah, you're too stupid to vote. Okay? And I can't believe it. You go look at the replies. It's all these liberals like, oh, you got him. Oh, you owned him. Yeah, I don't understand this about Latinos either. My God. If you don't get the difference between Elon Musk and a third world import, if you don't get the difference between a legal immigrant and an illegal immigrant, you are too stupid to vote. You are too stupid to vote. You're lucky, really, that you are even allowed to drive a car. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to hit this political news. We still got a guest coming up on the situation in Ohio. Hernando Arce went to Ohio and got some incredible footage. Again, anybody can go do this. All the independent journalists that went there, everybody they talked to. I mean, you go to a gas station, you shoot an interview, middle of the interview. Ah! Oh my gosh, a car crash. You run over to the car crash. Ladies and gentlemen, there was just a car crash behind me. A Haitian migrant flipped a car over with two children in the car down the road. Oh my gosh, a second car crash. That's the situation in Springfield. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just like, I wish there was helping these people. I genuinely thought, I used to have arguments with Alex Jones on air about this. When I first came to InfoWars, I genuinely thought that you could help these people. I genuinely thought that if they could see the truth or see reality or find logic again, common sense again, reasoning again, rationality again, that you could actually maybe change their mind or, you know, bring us all together, have that unity. But I mean, what am I supposed to do if you don't even get the difference between Elon Musk and a third world import from Haiti? I mean, you're shot. I don't know what I can do for you. Maybe when a Haitian cooks your cat, you'll figure it out. All right, phone lines. We're taking calls this hour and probably some in the third hour as well. And, you know, I'd say anything we've covered this week is fair game. It's Friday, so we'll say anything you even want to talk about. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. The number is on the screen. Now, a couple stories dealing with the election process. Georgia State Election Board votes to require hand count of ballots. I think there's already been enough actions in Georgia to make sure the Democrats don't steal it again. Add this to the list. Georgia State Election Board approves rule requiring hand count of ballots so they won't be able to triple stuff them. So they figured it out, folks. The Republicans in Georgia figured it out. They were triple, quadruple counting ballots in Atlanta, in Fulton County. And so that's not going to happen this time. Trump will win Georgia. I don't know what the odds are. I'd say that's a pretty good bet. You probably get pretty good odds on that bet, actually. Georgia Election Board orders hand counting of ballots. Now, this is the Washington Post headline. I love this because it shows you where the political sides align here. Pro-Trump Georgia Election Board votes to require hand count of ballots. So, yeah, again, the Republicans saw what happened in Georgia. They saw what they did in Fulton County, and they're stopping it from happening. So we know how they stole Georgia. They're not going to get away with it in 2024. I'd say that's a pretty safe bet. And now they even have the double redundancy of stopping the multiple counting of the ballots in Atlanta with this hand counting. So they won't be able to triple scan them, quadruple scan them, increase the Democrats' lead. And then if they count them by hand and it doesn't add up, you got problems. But see, oh my gosh, those damn Republicans, those damn Trump supporters, they want us to hand count ballots. They want to make sure that the vote is correct and the results are right. They're a threat to democracy. Those damn Republicans want to make sure the elections are done fairly. They're a threat to democracy. Those damn Republicans want voter ID laws. They want you to be able to prove you're a citizen. Threat to democracy. I want Kamala Harris, who didn't receive one vote. Then in Pennsylvania, now this, I don't think this story alone will change the results. I still think Harris wins Pennsylvania. They got like 10-1 Democrat poll watchers to Republicans. Who knows what they'll do in Philadelphia to rig this deal? Anything. Really, is what they'll do is anything. But this is interesting. Luzerne County to remove mail-in drop boxes. And this is in response to something that recently happened. Here's a local media report on something that happened at the ballot drop box, why they've decided to remove them, clip 13.
Tonight, concerns again at the drop box.
A Luzerne County election official reported someone trying to drop off multiple ballots.
Williams says a woman tried to put four mail-in ballots in the drop box at Penn Place while Director of Elections Michael Susick and another employee were emptying it. Susick, who reported the incident, says he explained that she could only drop off her own ballot unless she had the signed affidavit to drop off one other person's if they are unable. One other person's. She didn't have it, and she said she didn't have time to go to the election office to get one. Susick reported the woman started to walk away but turned around, threw all four into the bag, and immediately left. Susick was able to separate the four ballots, which are being held in a secure location.
Now, if that goes statewide, if they stop doing the mail-in ballot stuffing statewide, that could actually flip the state back to Trump. Now, they do have statewide mail-in voting. Obviously, I guess we can only assume that that was a Democrat stuffing ballots. Oh, I had no idea this was illegal. Oh, I didn't know. Oh. Exact same thing they did in 2020. All captured on video. And now the Republicans have actually video surveillance of a lot of these mail-in drop boxes. So my guess is they'll catch people doing this. This just happened to be caught in live time by a person that was there. I bet there's already hours of footage of Democrats stuffing 10, 20 mail-in ballots into the drop boxes. I'd bet that's already out there. It's already going on. You think that was a Democrat that was doing that? Yeah. Say that's another pretty safe bet. So, but if that goes statewide, if they catch that in another county, if they start exposing this all over the state, if they ban mail-in ballots, mail-in voting in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania goes for Trump. 100%. I mean, you might still have a problem with Philadelphia overwhelming the rest of the state with all the corruption that goes down there, but there's no way that they'll probably get away with the mail-in ballot fraud. If they get away with doing 10-1 Democrat poll watchers to Republicans, then that's going to be unbelievable. The good news is there's a path to victory for Trump without Pennsylvania. So we'll continue to monitor this and all the other legal fights, because that's the real fight. Most Americans know Kamala Harris is a joke. Most Americans know that the last 4 years of a disaster of an administration, Kamala Harris was a part of it. So it's not about getting more votes than the Democrats. It's not about winning more electoral college votes than the Democrats. That's all going to come down to not Trump versus Harris, but what the voting laws are and who gets to vote and what vote gets counted. That's what it's going to come down to. Fair election, Trump wins probably 45 states. But we don't have fair elections. And if we did, the Democrats wouldn't be fighting against the SAVE Act. The Democrats wouldn't be fighting against voter ID. The Democrats wouldn't be changing laws to have mail-in voting and no voter signature verification and no proof of residence and not clearing the voter rolls of illegal votes. So they know their game. They know their game, but their game is also up. All right. Let's start going to the phone calls now. Let's start with Daryl in North Carolina. There was an interesting story. I suppose it's interesting. I don't know. It's just normal now, these hit pieces on Republicans. So I didn't even cover the Mark Robinson story, but Daryl calls in on it now. Daryl, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Owen. Yes, I'm here to talk about the governor race. As you mentioned, it's between Josh Stein, the Democrat liberal, who was born in Washington, D.C. He's a Harvard brainwashed lawyer, longtime liberal, deep state political operative. He's currently the North Carolina Attorney General. And if elected, he'd be North Carolina's first Jewish governor. Now, tale of the tape. We have in the other corner Mark Robinson, who was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, always lived there, hometown guy. He had a career like Jesus did. He was a furniture builder. He didn't get involved in politics until 2020 when he'd had enough, like all of us, and he became the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. He is endorsed by Trump, and he's going to win governor. So what we had happen today is the elite liberal media, spearheaded by CNN, has put out a hit piece on him, and here's the hit piece. And all the liberal media, if you look, there's dozens that have jumped on this bandwagon. And it's this. They say that over a decade ago, he visited a porn site and posted on a bulletin board. And he should just step aside because that's just so terrible. So we all see through this, right?
Yeah, but hey, they're all trying to get a line into Diddy in prison to get an endorsement.
By the way, Mark Robinson, if elected, would become North Carolina's first African-American governor. And let me tell you, he's the man for the job.
Oh, but the Democrats aren't celebrating that, are they?
Not at all. No.
Yeah.
It shows
they don't really care. They don't want actual diversity. They don't even care about a black person. If a black person is conservative, they're not interested. They want mind control.
That's exactly right.
I mean, look, I'm not in North Carolina. Politically, policy, I'm sure he's great. But Mark Robinson is one of the best stumpers out there. I mean, the guy is one of the best speakers. He's one of the most passionate speakers. He'd be a great leader.
Totally agree, Owen. Totally agree. And I just, you know, whenever you see CNN and all the liberal media outlets simultaneously lining up to attack a guy with some nonsense, that's the guy you want to get behind.
Of course, since he's running against a Jewish person, they're calling him a Nazi.
Right.
I mean, it's just too good. But hey, you know, he was on a porn site a decade ago. Oh yeah, and you guys love Jeffrey Epstein and P. Diddy, and then hung out at Bill Cosby's parties, and you know. But hey, Mark Robinson, yeah. I mean, these people are just such phonies. Thank you for the call, Daryl. Yeah, I didn't cover that this week because it wasn't even worth it, but. I'm glad he called in on that. Let's go to Mike in Georgia. You're on the air. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Hey, good job to you and the crew. You guys make afternoons great here. So one thing I wanted to point out was one of the posts you played yesterday from that gentleman who was talking about how that Jesus came to be a divisive figure. I've watched it like three times. Like, that was awesome. But what I wanted to say was, I don't think, to tell you the truth, that the American people are ever going to understand how hard can be until they experience it. And I'm a retired combat veteran. I live out in rural Georgia just to get away from the chaos. But in theaters all over the world that I've been to see what happens during these events where chaos starts to, or where society starts to crumble.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to understand it until they see it.
Let's look at a couple angles of this and let's pray we never have to experience this. Yeah. The average American, if not any American, most Americans for certain, don't know what it's like to twist the faucet and no water comes out. Most Americans don't know what it's like to flip the light switch and there's no electricity. Most Americans don't know what it's like to debate whether they're going to go outside or go to the grocery store because there might not be any groceries there or there might be gunfire on the way. And so that's probably about as bad as it can get. But let's look at something from maybe a more realistic, practical situation. If you follow the real estate market, most people want to own a home at some point. It used to be part of the American dream. I mean, maybe it's not anymore because of what they've done to the economy. But here's an example of how they're crushing our economy, crushing ownership, home ownership. In the Trump years, if you bought a home, you could have gotten in the 2% interest rates. Okay. Now, let's say you bought a home during the Trump years. You've got some equity in that home, and maybe now you want to move, and you find a similar house, similar price even, and now you can make a larger down payment because you've got some equity in the house that you've already purchased. Well, if you go look, and you can try this for yourself, if you go look to buy a house in Biden's America, you could have the same price and you could have more down payment, and yet your monthly payment has gone up because of what they've done to the economy. So that's a more practical example, and you add that into the grocery bill, the energy bills, and everything else. It's making everybody live paycheck to paycheck. It's getting everybody out of the asset column, and it's forcing people to be in a situation now where if they aren't considering getting an EBT card or a government welfare check, they already have. All right,
the
Mike.
Lady asked him Bono or... Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't hear you.
I was saying there's a significant number or percentage of the American people that don't get what you just said, and I agree with you 100%. Hence the lady asking the boat owner why he was even worried about it because he owned a boat. They're just not there. There's enough of them there to where they can affect the outcome.
Yeah, as long as they get their pumpkin spice latte, you know.
Exactly. Anyway, thanks, Owen. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Miss Lou in Florida. Lou, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Owen. Listen, narcissism, it's incurable, and that's what's happening to the elite left. But what I wanted to call you about was actually, I'm in Florida. Of course, you know that Ron DeSantis is trying to conduct an investigation of the second shooter. And there's zero cooperation from the three-letter agencies, which you also know. But here's the trick, and the Trump campaign and the Trump family has to be made aware of this. There was a whistleblower who went to Matt Gaetz and said, three foreign teams, two domestic teams, assassin teams are going after Trump. If it is a foreign team, it's a CIA cutout. Essentially, if there are five teams, they're five U.S. completely compromised teams working to take him down. They're doing foreign so that, and Alex has said this 1,000 times, so they can blame Iran and get their little war going. But they're funding Iran. So this is all just typical. This is the communist playbook. It's global. You know it. And what's happening in this country with all this, as you explained about home ownership, is the redistribution of wealth.
Well, hold right there. Hold right there. And I'll play the Matt Gaetz clip. I have it on my list today. But see, what you're bringing up is so important. Now, I didn't talk about the Iran story today because I still want to wait, but I will just say in response to yesterday, little to no news coverage of the Iran story about Iran sharing hacked Trump campaign data, internal emails, whatever it was, communications with the Harris campaign, or at least trying to. Very little to no news coverage of that. So I'm still kind of waiting to see, and I also realize that you have the heavily Israeli lobby-controlled Congress and the Five Eyes, if you will, that work with Israel. They want a war with Iran, and so maybe that's kind of bait to get Trump to want the war with Iran or conservatives to want the war with Iran by sitting here and saying, Iran, Iran, Iran. Now, there could be something going on with Iran, maybe not. I've gone long here, Miss Lou. Just hold that thought. Because I would ask, because this is what I don't understand. But it's back to the same thing. The liberal mind is completely broken, folks. It is a broken mind. How do you reason the multiple Trump assassination attempt and not understand what's going on? I'm glad Miss Lou called in to bring this up because, you know, I tend to get caught up in the minutiae of the left-wing ideology. And that's just part because I'm interested in human psychology. And the other part is like, I mean, these people are supposed to be on my team. These are my fellow Americans. And I'm just looking at them under total MKUltra brainwashing, falling for all the propaganda. And I just like, oh, but I can't get them out of it. But so Miss Lou calls in, she brings up the latest assassination attempt and this Matt Gaetz clip that I have talking about the five assassination teams in the country. And again, I fall right back into this pit to try to understand. How can somebody not get it? by now. How can you not get what's going on with Trump? So there's been at least two assassination attempts of Donald Trump that we know of, where there was a guy with a gun waiting to shoot or did shoot Donald Trump. So like, so how do you ration this? How do you reason this, that this is going on? You either, I mean, I look, there's really only three conclusions that you can reach here. One, you're a radical left-wing extremist that thinks it's a good thing and wants Trump dead. And that's a very real phenomenon. I mean, Johnny Depp suggested somebody shoot a president. Madonna said she wanted to blow up the White House. You just had a caller into C-SPAN this week say, somebody's got to kill this guy. I'm 83. I'm almost dead. So, I'll do it, basically. So you're either a leftist and you think, yeah, somebody should kill Trump. Or you think that it's just some radical leftist that wants to kill Trump. So you're either a radical leftist and you want to kill Trump. You think it's just a radical leftist that wants to kill Trump. Or there's some sort of a corrupt establishment, deep state, government, shadow government, whatever it is, that wants to kill Trump. I don't know any other conclusions that your mind can reach in regards to this. So so you either believe Trump needs to be killed, you admit that the radical left is dangerous and violent, or Trump is the American patriot, the American hero, going up against the corrupt establishment and the corrupt shadow government. I don't see any other conclusions you can reach. Well, I guess the fourth would be that they think all of it is staged. So I correct myself. The fourth conclusion is that they believe it's all staged. So getting back to Miss Lou, who calls in about this, I would say that, I wonder, this is what's so frustrating when Ron Rowe comes out and talks about it, or even Matt Gaetz, or like... I'm trying to convince other congressional Republicans to come forward and just say what it is. Folks, the Democrats want Trump dead. The kill Trump media wants Donald Trump dead. There is a deep state corrupt establishment that wants Trump dead. Why are we so afraid to say that? Like, duh. Why is that so controversial? That's clearly what's going on here. And I can't even get Republicans to go on record and say it? You can't even get members of the media to go on record and say it? That's it. That's what's going on. So it's just like, I don't know why we can't come to grips with this reality. And then your Secret Service Director, Ron Rowe, and you're up there talking about how you're going to punish people for the failures. Ron Rowe, the Secret Service is up against itself. The Secret Service is up against the other federal bureaucracies and intelligence agencies that want Trump dead. And you can't even go up there. You've been on record how many times? One sworn testimony and then two press conferences, and not one time can you say what's going on. Why is it that people are trying to kill Donald Trump? Why can't you say that? That's the threat. That's the problem. I'm ranting here, Miss Lou, but I'm just glad you brought it up because it's just like, it's just so, again, why can't people just be real? You know, somebody tuned into my show the other day for the first time, somebody I've known for a while and just kind of knows I'm into politics and was like, hey, where can I find your show? Listens a couple times, is like, wow, like it's nice to hear somebody that's actually real and tells it like it is. It's like, why is it so hard? The government's trying to kill Trump. I mean, how many times have they indicted him? How many times have they spied on him? You know, like, hello? Why can't we just be real about this, Miss Lou? All right, well, I went long. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Yeah, how are you? And I don't want to piss you off, but this might do so as well. I apologize. It's a good day for righteous indignation. So a news drop today, 2.7 million non-citizens likely voting in November. It's a Substack from Account for America. And when they say voting, I'm going to put those in air quotes, because we know that the goal is not for an illegal to cross the border and vote. It's the goal is for the illegal to cross the border, go to Motor Voter, get social services, fill out a voter registration, so the corrupt people can use that ballot when they need to on November 6th, for instance, this year. So I understand what you're saying. It's great that Georgia's doing what they're doing. Arizona hasn't done anything to change our system here, so I don't anticipate State 48 will go for an America First candidate. We're making steps. We're going to go try to clean the voter roll on Saturday. We went to a great PC meeting yesterday.
Well, what was it? There was a lawsuit in Maricopa County. I think it was a couple hundred thousand people they were trying to clear from the voter rolls, and the Democrats were saying they should get to vote in this election.
Of course. It's 98,000, and the Secretary of State came out on Monday, and he blamed his predecessor for it. But his predecessor is Katie Hobgoblin, who's the governor now. She was the previous Secretary of State. It's been a problem for 20 years. It gets worse every day. It is what it is.
So we're the good news vigilant. Is Trump can win without Arizona. That's the good news. But, yeah, the bad news is there right now I think Trump loses Arizona. I think they steal it.
Yeah, I love your cautious, optimistic attitude about Georgia, but Georgia hand-counting bad ballots does not potentially change it. I realize they did the suitcase 3-4 times, but if they still don't verify citizens are registering to vote, and that was the problem in Pennsylvania. I come from there. They let everybody that walks in sign up and get on the voter rolls. They could care less if you're a citizen. So anyways, we might be called to do more, sir.
Well, I appreciate that call, and it's good that, I mean, that's actually like a, I mean, in case people haven't noticed, we're a syndicated show here, syndicated on TV and radio. And so in syndication, you have to take a break at the top of the hour. It's mandated so people can get their call signs out and other things. And then that first 5 minutes goes to local stations. Well, we used to do, let's see. We used to do 5 breaks an hour. We now do 2. We're down to 2 breaks an hour here. Nobody else does that in syndicated TV or radio. Nobody. Nobody. And the only people that do live that long are podcast open formats. We still do news formats in long form. So why am I saying that? Because maybe I should dedicate a 20-minute segment every day and just going to these swing states and getting updates on the ground about where some of these legal battles are at right now. Because this audience is paying attention. This audience is informed. So, I might consider doing that. Maybe we'll wait until we hit October, or maybe we just start doing that. But I will just say this. I do. Trump will win Georgia. I would bet on it. And it's not just the not double-counting ballots. Just so, in case people haven't heard this before, they came out a couple months ago. They charged people. They got arrested in Georgia where they found illegal votes were counted. I think it was like 15,000 illegal votes were counted. Well, Trump lost Georgia by 12,000. So remember, that phone call where they're saying, oh, Trump needs to be indicted, where he calls up Raffensperger and he says, hey, there's more illegal votes then the margin of victory, you need to find the votes. And then the media lies and spins it and says, oh, he's saying make up votes. He's saying cheat. No. He was saying the amount of illegal votes in Georgia was beyond the margin of victory. Go find the illegal votes and let's see who really won. Well, they found the illegal votes. 4 years later, they arrested the person. So you already removed those illegal votes. Maybe that changed the results. Maybe it doesn't. If they don't triple, quadruple count the ballots, and then who knows what they're doing? They're pulling box loads of ballots out from under the table after everybody left from the fake water main break. They're not going to get away with that. They're not going to get away with that in 2024. Trump's going to win Georgia. So, I mean, I'm not giving you betting advice, but I mean, you know, I'd bet on it. I don't think he wins Arizona, though.
All right, I'm ranting. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to, I actually meant to go to Dave in Pennsylvania. They put on Dave in Arizona. So let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania now.
All right, Owen. How you doing? Back to the golf course shooting. If you look at a simple timeline, if this guy was there from 2 a.m. till 2 p.m., let's say, if Trump decided to golf before 2 a.m. than the day before, then that means this guy was tipped off.
100% he was tipped off. Just to clarify, and I mean, maybe you have heard differently. It's my understanding the timeline was he was there from like 1 to 1. It was like 1 a.m. and then 1 p.m. I think was when he was shot at. And I think it was that Trump told people that night, sometime in the early evening, like around 5, 6, or 7, in that time frame is when he told people he was going to go golfing. He told Lindsey Graham. He told Sean Hannity. And he reported it to Secret Service. So absolutely 100%. But you know what? The timing doesn't even matter. 110% this guy was tipped off. There is a leaker in the federal bureaucracies or there is a mole in Trump's inner circle. 110%. And nobody even wants to talk about it, Dave. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it during these press conferences. Nobody wants to talk about it while Congress is in session.
Because what I was going to say also, if you learned after 2 a.m., then the guy would have already been in place. Someone would have had to known he could get Trump invited to the course and say, yeah, I could get him there. So that way, his buddy who he was golfing with, maybe he was a problem. But the other question I have, too, is how long did this guy expect to be dug in? You know, did he have food and water with him?
They didn't answer any of those questions today. None of those questions were answered. Well, I will tell you, it wasn't. Let me kind of reframe your question. He was there for the day. He was there to shoot and kill Trump that day. I think the real framing of your question is, when was he told to go to Florida? That's the real question. When was he told to go to Florida and hunker down there in the instance that Trump might go play a round of golf and he can go set up a nest in that bushel of trees? To me, that's the real question. And they haven't answered that yet. They haven't told us yet.
Because you could say, look, it's summertime, golf time. We know Trump's going to be on this course sometime soon. Hang around Florida for a couple weeks. We'll give you the order of when to go and dig in. We'll make sure you have access. Those are questions that need to be answered.
I mean, they stood down on this guy. Homeland Security literally stood down on this guy.
And that's the part that worries me, because eventually they're going to get him. And then what's going to happen? We're all going to be screaming, I told you so. But in reality, once it's done, then what happened?
Yeah. I mean, it's sad. And I mean, but it's like, what do you even do? Okay, so, yeah, what do we do if they assassinate Trump? Because the Republican Party ain't going to do jack shit. I'll tell you that right now.
Expecting us to riot and cause chaos. And they're going to, if anything, I know some people will, but that's when they're going to start framing attacks, blaming it on us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
be total chaos. And they would cancel an election.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm worried about, because we have every right to be outraged, but what really happens when it goes down? It's such a you know, scary thought. But on another note, to the listeners out there, sometimes I feel like we're all preaching to the choir, because we're already here. We're already on the same wavelength. We're already awake. What I suggest is to everyone who you know, every info warrior out there has at least one friend or family member that's not a complete lunatic, but is also not completely awake and doesn't really love Trump or whatever. Take that one person and say, look, I'll give you $5. Listen to Alex's show or Owen's show for one day and promise me, give me that opportunity, listen to the show for one day and tell me what you think. Something like that might just open up normal people's eyes who just aren't involved as much. Like my parents, for example. They didn't think the whole cat eating cat story was real. And I had to tell them, look, it's real. Here's the body cam footage. Here's the proof. Little things like that will start slowly awakening people that aren't already on board.
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree, and that's part of the purpose of InfoWars and this show and the work we do. From my experience, people have to have their own awakening experience. So they might be, they might already have common sense and get things, but then hearing this kind of connects it and just enhances it. Or they just are completely lost, don't know anything, and then it's like something has to happen for them to kind of have their minds and eyes opened, and then they can kind of understand, you know, what we talk about here. I mean, I would say, Dave, I agree, and thank you for the call. There will probably be another attempt on Trump, if not multiple attempts. So it's just like, again, when does congressional leadership start to take this seriously? When does the American media that's not just totally compromised or that's not the kill Trump media, when do they start to take this seriously? When are they going to be willing to have the real conversations about what's going on? Hasn't happened yet. Or if it, if and when it happens, it's in a tiny little fraction. That's what I'm saying. It's like, we literally have, and again, I don't know. It's to the point where it's like, you're just numb. We literally have a deep state shadow government trying to assassinate Donald Trump. Just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. What's new? Cool. Let's go have Kamala Harris cackle on Oprah. Let's go talk about a continued resolution so we can fund the government. What a joke. All right, let's go to Anthony in Texas. Anthony, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm going to be pretty direct and concise about this. I'm one of those original Info Warriors that used to sit and listen to Alex Jones on shortwave. And I'm going to be plain and blunt. You know, where, you know, in Ohio, where's the committees of safety? Where are they? Why are some of you white people so cowardly? You've got Haitians, they're eating cats and dogs. What's it going to take for you people to stand up and fight? What's it going to take? A young girl roasted on a spit in the backyard? And the first time one of us say, you know what, let's do something. Oh, you're fed. Oh, no, let's pray for peace. Don't touch him. I'm so sick of the cowardly side, of the cowardly part of our side telling us, calm down, pray for peace. No. You know what? You know what scares them? War. You want peace? Train and pray for war. That way you'll get peace. Because your women and children, now it's your cats and dogs today, Ohio, New York. What's it going to take? Your daughters, your sons? I spent years of my life fighting for this country. Friends of mine died for it. And you bunch of cowards sit around and, oh, you put a camera in their face? Oh, we're just going to go down and take pictures. No. You know, like, get rid of them. Get them out. If 10 or 15 people surrounded, don't go up there begging at the microphone for your rights that are already yours. Why don't you surround town hall and say, you know what? We're going to remove you and put somebody in there that'll do the job. If there's enough, if there's more of us than them. What the heck are you people waiting for? You're the modern-day versions of Paul Revere's. You either get on board or get out of the way. If you don't want to fund or if you don't want to help the revolution, shut up and get out of the way and let the real fighters do the job and win the freedom back.
Who's in your way?
Huh?
Well, who's in your way?
Oh man. The first time somebody like me tries to go down there and get these people out of the way, you all start crying and whining and grabbing your pearls. Like, no. We're just gonna vote.
Hold on a second. Look, I understand where you're coming from, but let's have a rational conversation about this if you want. Give me one example of somebody trying to do what you're describing and somebody getting in the way.
What I'm saying is somebody, people getting committees of safety and going down and saying, you know what? We need to get these people out of the way. But instead, you have people going down with cameras and you report. And I said,
yes, I understand that. You've already said that. Okay. So, all right. I'll advance the conversation. Now, I never signed up for the military. Okay. You did. You put your name and your life on the dotted line to protect this country. So I respect that. So I get where you're coming from. I never did that. I want to save this country politically. I'm a guy that comes from the media, and so I left the sports media, and this is what I do now. I've been arrested for my speech. I've spent time in prison. I've been on probation for 5 years. I mean, I won't even get into the rest of it. I'm not complaining. I know that that comes with the territory. You forget about somebody wanting to call you a fed. You know damn well if you tried to do what you did, you would be in jail for years, right? I mean, you realize that.
And I did. I said, I put my life on the line for my children and grandchildren. And I can sit with my head held high. And yes,
so are you gonna organize veterans then?
Oh, I've tried. They're too scared.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. And I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to make a point here. Have you ever been in a fight?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Okay. Have you ever de-escalated a fight?
Have I ever de-escalated a fight? When it was towards my advantage, when it was advantageous for me to do so, when it was
okay. Great. So great answer. So that's where we're at right now. And you might disagree, and that's fine. But it's like right now we want to de-escalate. You probably disagree. I want to de-escalate right now. You know damn well. You said you've been in a fight. I'm not some big tough guy. I've been in a couple fights. But you know damn well, if you're going to get into a fight, it's on. Like, once that fight starts, it's on. So, if you want to go there, you know what's going to happen. I'm in the de-escalation point. I'm in the politically save this country point. I'm in the use what I can do in the media point. I never signed up for the military. Okay? So, I get where you're coming from. I understand your frustration. But you know damn well, you basically admitted it. You know damn well that path for you will be a failing path. So that's why I say de-escalate, because it's to my advantage right now. But I get your frustration, Anthony. All right, I'm going to go to that clip now of Matt Gaetz talking about somebody warning him from DHS that there are multiple assassin teams in the country trying to kill Donald Trump right now. Clip 15.
I'll break a little news for you. I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt, saying that what he has assessed is that there are 5 known assassination teams in the United States, 3 inspired by other governments, 2 that are here that are known domestic assassination teams. And with that, this individual was coming to me concerned that the force protection around President Trump, even prior to that second assassination attempt, was not sufficient for what it needed to be. And the coordination at that level, at the dignitary protection level, is like the bare minimum that we have to do to keep our presidents, our presidential candidates safe while they're on the trail.
So there are 5, I just want to follow up, 5 assassination teams. Are they all targeting Trump? Is it other officials?
Yes. No, wow. I should have been clear about that. 5 teams that we know are targeting Trump. And so that raises real questions about why certain teams were being pulled off of the Trump deal detail and put on, for example, the Jill Biden detail. Now, we don't want anything bad to happen to Jill Biden, but at the same time, the threat envelope for her was substantially different than the threat envelope around President Trump, and it would not have necessitated pulling assets away from the Trump detail for the Jill Biden detail or the John Bolton detail or any other details that were beefed up. At the same time, the requests from the Trump detail and from the Trump campaign for more security were going unanswered.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
Congressman, I know that you and a number of other problem-solving type members of Congress have probably thought and had conversations about what could be done to at least supplement Secret Service to protect President Trump. What would be your recommendation to the Trump campaign?
President Trump is the last person worried about this, to be honest. I mean, he's worried about his message. He's worried about the safety of the people there. And I think he himself does not reflect on his personal security.
All right, we've got the meat of it. You know, I'm listening to this and I'm just thinking, because I don't have the answer. What do you do if they assassinate Trump? I don't even know what the answer is. I mean, that's I don't think there is an answer. There's a political response, but I don't think there's really an answer to that question. And I've been saying that Trump shouldn't stop campaigning or golfing, but you know, I'm kind of second guessing it now. And I think really the strategic move for Trump at this point, it's not going to happen. He's already, I know he's going back to Butler at some point. I actually think the strategic move for Trump at this point would be to hunker down at Mar-a-Lago, hire private security, working with Secret Service, just make it as easy on them as possible. I mean, I guess he could get access to a single golf course if he can't give up golfing, but I mean, even just maybe give up golfing. And he should come out with a very powerful, well-written address to the nation, announce why he's suspending public events. And I would even have RFK by my side and say there is a deep state corrupt government. They lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. They lied to us about 9/11. They killed JFK Jr. And now they're trying to kill me because I want to save the country. And I mean, that's just kind of a brief layout of it. But I think that would be probably the most powerful strategic thing Trump could do at this point. Because he doesn't, I mean, he can go to swing states. He can go to New York. We all know what's going on, folks. It's all about whose votes are going to count and how they're going to count them. So it really doesn't even matter. That would be huge. And everybody would hear it, and it would be a major eye-opening thing. And he doesn't have to include 9/11 if he doesn't want to. Or, I don't know, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. But, I mean, they're going to try to kill him at least one more time before the election. I mean, five assassination teams? I mean, what is Secret Service going to do if there's multiple people coming at Trump? They can barely even handle one guy on a roof. I think Trump should announce he's suspending public events and just make a powerful speech. Just powerful. Sometime with my friend Hernando Arce, who went to Ohio and got a lot of amazing footage, talking to locals, going to some of the local bureaucracies, DMVs, dealing with law enforcement. And so I'm just going to give him the platform and the time that we have with him, and we'll go back to the phone lines after. And we got some of his video clips here we can B-roll too. So, Hernando, with the time that we have, why don't you tell people where you went and what you saw?
Well, thank you, Chris Owen, for having me back on your show. Yes, I went to Springfield, Ohio, Buckeye State, first time in my life. And to see firsthand what was going on. First off, I want to say that with this whole cat-eating Asian dietary supplements that they have, I felt a little bit insulted, and I'm sure many people were feeling insulted the fact that the whole nation was at an uproar because apparently someone was eating a cat or geese in a park. However, where is the outcry, Owen? With the 435,000 missing children that have come in through our borders, where is the news for that?
Well, you know, this is actually a great point, and I'm not blaming Donald Trump, but really it does come down to Donald Trump. Trump was the one that made the cats and the dogs thing viral. He should have said the missing children, you know. Right. And if he would have made a thing of the missing children, then that would have been viral, and then they would have been making songs about that and gyrating on TikTok about that.
sadly enough, they literally would have been humping the air about missing kids. But, I mean, that's just the generation we're in, I suppose. But that's what it is. He made that a big thing, yeah, and we missed the missing children story.
Exactly. He fell for it with a chap. However, when I arrived at Springfield, you know, it's a little bit interesting, that town. I think it's a reflection of many, many towns all over our nation, because that town is on life support from what I saw. This is a town where people are just hanging by a string. Why do I say that? Because since 1990, those factory jobs, those blue collar jobs in that town have been taken and gone to China and Mexico. And then they brought in the fentanyl and the opioid crisis with the drugs. There were many, many people that were drugs or recovering from drugs. I could tell from their faces and their teeth when I interviewed these people. The women are obese, just like any other town. And the men are beta males. And so, you know, when I'm interviewing man on the street doing interviews, that's the kind of, vibe it gave me. So it's a reflection of many towns, I believe. And that's why they hang on to Trump. That's why the flyover states hang on to Trump, because all they're left is crumbs on the table. That's all they were left with. And guess what, Owen? Now we've got 20,000 of these illegal aliens, and that's what they are, temporary protective status. They have perverted that program. They bastardized that program. And there's millions of them that come in through those programs. So what happens with those crumbs on the table for these Americans? These hazers are now taking their jobs. They're getting driver license, as I report with the video there. They may be getting commercial driver license as well. Imagine driving a tractor trailer with hazardous material. But these guys are notorious for causing accidents. Owen.
Well, I know. It's only a matter of time before people realize that this is going on in many small towns across the country. The latest was a small town, Charleroi, Pennsylvania. And so I would expect we see and hear from multiple small towns before this is over. And the story is really that non-citizens, illegal alien, criminal border crossers are getting prioritized over the American people. That's kind of what's highlighting here. But, you know, you're even delving deeper into this, which is true. What happened to the old Main Street? What happened to the small town in the middle of flyover country that used to have a manufacturing plant for shoes or machine parts or bottling? Well, it's all gone. It's all overseas. We've been sold out. And so these old towns that used to have a job where you could start in a factory, make a living wage, maybe work your way up, you know, whatever, and have a nice life in these small towns, that's gone. That's been sold out by these politicians.
Yes, Owen, and the young men and women in these towns have been sent overseas to fight wars that we shouldn't be in. They come back limp. I met a couple of veterans with missing legs, and they're stuck on PTSD and painkillers. So this is what the town turned into. If I could jump into now the corruption of this Ohio state. Mind you, these are Republican Governor DeWin, and we have a Republican mayor, Mr. Robert Rue, R-U-E. We did some digging, Pete Santelli and I. Can you believe that each of these individual politicians have almost the exact identical real estate portfolio in the last few years? They've purchased properties that have gone into foreclosure, most likely from hardworking American men and women families. They purchased these homes at discount prices, and each one owns 25 properties, give or take. And now my question is, when I got booted out of the city hall, I got thrown out of there, try to ask the mayor questions peacefully. I want to know if the governor, because that's what I'm hearing, that the governor and the mayor, they knew this was coming. And that's why they bought these properties, so they could lease them out to these Asian families. Mm. And it's not just one Asian family. It's multiple Asian families. A one-family house in that neighborhood, $60,000. And they usually rent for $800 to $1,000. Well, I'm hearing reports that you have three or four Asian family units under one roof, and they're generating thousands of dollars per month with these agents. So the grift doesn't just stop at the border with the NGOs.
Nope.
It continues. Nope. Continues to every city and state. Owen.
Well, and this is why a lot of the Republicans go along with this, too. I mean, Governor DeWine, he's not doing anything to stop this from happening. He's even made a peep. I hear louder noises from the crickets outside my bedroom window than DeWine or even this mayor. This mayor did one interview after all of this went down. He did a single interview. That was it. So it's basically crickets from these guys. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's, I mean, think about what you're talking about. And that's maybe just one example. There's also examples where they buy up these massive facilities and then fill them with illegal immigrants that are coming in. Now they're running it. So you're absolutely right. They know. They do this with everything, by the way. They do this with the green energy scam. They do it with these internet connection scams. They just earmark these billions of dollars for whatever the project is, whatever the issue is. And then either they themselves, the politicians, or they their friends get into those industries and then they just buy the stock. And then they funnel, oh, here's billions of dollars for green energy that I own stock in. Here's billions of dollars for illegal immigration. I own the facilities. I own the houses that the government money is renting for these illegals. So absolutely, total boondoggle, total just 100% criminal activity. And again, it's the same story. The American people suffer. And then this guy in D.C., did you see the video? The guy in D.C. is fed up. He's complaining because this Uber Eats guy doesn't speak English. Black business owner. So I'm sitting here like, oh, the black guy, he's in the back of the line with us whites now, too. How does it feel? And it's like he's being investigated for a hate crime. Why? First of all, he shouldn't be investigated for hate crime. Why is it a problem to want your service workers to speak English?
Well, that's called the American Replacement Center, as I coined my center here in San Antonio. We are being replaced right in front of our eyes, guys. They're going to be taking away the blue collar and middle class work from us. So yeah. Oh, and also what I wanted to also discuss here with you, from what I experienced here when I was in Springfield, there was apparently a bomb threats. I'm sure you covered it on your show. I was at the schools. I was at the city hall. I went to the supermarkets. The supermarkets were shut down. The Walmarts were shut down for a day or so. In my opinion, those are black flags. I'm sure you probably agree.
Oh no, it came out. They said it was a hoax. It was mainstream news. Yep.
All right. Yep.
But actually, that was the only thing you heard from the governor was him eventually coming out saying that it was a hoax.
Yeah, it was a hoax, and they're trying to paint the picture that the right wing extremists is behind all this. But why would a Republican extremist fire pipe bomb a school with your kids in it? It just didn't make any sense. Or Walmart, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and plus, this is what the left did. They did the same thing with the trans issues, and they called in fake bomb threats. It caught some of them. It was just leftist hoaxes, and they called in bomb threats on that deal, too.
Yeah. And January 6th with the DNC and the RNC, it's the same tired playbook over again. Would you like to go over the election, what I'm seeing with these illegals with Obamacare as well?
Sure. And I would just highlight people to go if they want to see your work on the ground there, because you were all over the place in Ohio. If they want to go see your work on the ground, go to his X account at Hernando Arce. We're having it on the screen. And of course, you can fund his work at givesendgo.com/Hernando Arce as well. It's linked up on his feed there on X. So just a great follow. I make sure to stay updated on his independent journalism there on X as well. Yeah, would you like to get into the election?
Well, it is election year, so it's important that your listeners know what's going on. I've been boots on the ground at San Antonio, which is a major hub for these illegals. It's a stopover from the border 2.5 hours away. And I can report to you, Owen, that in the last 6 months, we've seen multiple Obamacare healthcare agencies at the center trying to register these illegal aliens for Obamacare. And they come from different states. Most of them coming from Florida and some in Houston. And so I confronted them on camera and asked them what they're doing. At the beginning, I didn't really have clarity how it works. But check this out. The temporary protective status that gives you the right for a work authorization card, which, by the way, the photograph for the work authorization card is taken at the border during the ICE process. Believe it or not, they get that card in the mail at their sponsored address within 45 days. Like that quickly, they can get a job with these temporary protective status. And there's been hundreds of thousands of them that come in with this. Cuba, Venezuela, Haiti, and Nicaragua, right? They come in through CBP-1, through an entry of border, which are 9 entries of borders in our southern border, or they take the direct flight into the interior of our country, to a major city. Contrary to what a lot of people say, that flight, they are paying for that flight, by the way. These illegals are paying for that flight. But this is getting back to Obamacare. They qualify for Obamacare once they Once they do a tax return with the IRS, that's the whole thing. They have to do 1 year tax returns and they qualify. But what I want to expose, Owen, if you allow me, is that these NGOs, or my opinion, my theory, is these dirty NGOs, which I know, you know, you see me cover them. I go to their headquarters and demand answers and I get thrown out of there too, right? These NGOs that are supporting the shelter and the food for these illegals are working together with Marxist organizations, that are funded by George Soros and Tides Foundation. They're going to be working together because the DNC demand that. You know, these NGOs didn't get billions of dollars without conditions. The conditions are they have the spreadsheets of all millions and millions of illegals. They send that information to these nonprofit voter leftist Marxist organizations like Trudeau, Rockefeller, Voter Participation Center. And now these illegals are not going to vote. What happens is these agencies are going to register them to vote. And then they're going to go and harvest them door to door. So the illegals don't go to the precincts and vote. The last thing these illegals are thinking about is voting. That's the last thing they're thinking about. Believe me, I've interviewed them. But these Marxist organizations are going to use that method, just like they did in 2020 with the ballot boxes. This time it's illegal aliens data. Owen.
Well, and also, it came out, maybe it was last year. I think it was the Red State report that came out. It had all the RNC spending and all the DNC spending. This is eventually what led to the ouster of Ronna McDaniel, that the DNC spends the majority of its money on voter data. Well, that's the exact data that you're talking about. They can share all this data or buy all this data from these institutions or these NGOs. And now however they can, or if they can track and trace these illegal immigrants, this guy's staying here. They unknowingly are registered to vote. Now we can take their ballot, tell them how to vote, and now we've harvested their vote. So that's what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. You got it right there, man.
Well, that's Hernando, I appreciate you joining me today. I'll continue to follow you on X. With any other breaking news, we'll get you on the air. And folks, again, I encourage you to give him a follow on X. It really is great independent journalism. Hernando, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Owen.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that voter harvesting deal. I mean, it's just crazy. The whole thing is just so criminal and so crazy. All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines here. This is your daily reminder to take your vitamins. Have you taken your vitamins? Have you taken your supplements today? This is your reminder right now. I'm being nice about it. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get them today. Remember, Vitamin Mineral Fusion. This stuff sells out all the time, especially when it's at a deep discount like it is right now. 40% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, one scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and it has more than 100% your daily value. Vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, vitamin C, and so much more. You can go find it all out when you go to InfoWarsStore.com. You can look at the label for yourself, find out all of that goodness in one scoop. Tastes great and is good for you. I start every day with Vitamin Mineral Fusion, because it tastes great and it's good for me. By the way, it's better than those high fructose syrup, corn syrup, processed sugar drinks that give these kids all these health problems. So great for your kids as well. That's just one of the great products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. There are many on sale right now, just like the entire line of InfoWars MD products that are on sale, like Good Night Sleep, Nerve Renew, Joint Relief, all 25% off right now. Nitric Boost, the great cardiovascular health, blood flow supplement, 40% off right now. Always my go-to before a three-hour show. Brain Force Plus, Brain Force Ultra, that's 40% off right now as well. This is your kind, friendly reminder to take your vitamins and take your supplements and get them from InfoWarsStore.com. Great products. I'm a product of the products of InfoWarsStore.com. And we appreciate your support there, keeping us on the air. All right. We got a couple phone calls to go to. You know, speaking of corruption, though, local corruption, this is a crazy story out of Austin. And I think there's going to be another Austin isn't that. I mean, we got our problems, obviously. And there's going to be probably another big corruption story that comes out probably before the end of this month. I don't know. I mean, I could break it, but we're just waiting on a couple other things to line up.
with some, well, I don't even, they don't know, the person that's about to get exposed doesn't know this is coming, but let's just say some bribes are probably going to come out soon. And then there's this. We have four city managers now in Austin, four city managers, and they each make $300,000 a year. Four city managers. Now, I don't know if you've been to Austin lately. The city is not managed that well. There's construction that never gets finished. There's roads that are riddled with potholes. There's apartment buildings that go up and then don't get filled. There's a homeless crisis, the likes of which you can't even believe. What are the city managers doing? Just curious. Make a lot of money. Not sure what they do. I'm sure it's the same way in a lot of these blue cities. They collect a paycheck, but they don't do a damn thing. And the cops are just like, they don't know what to do, and they're defunded, so they just kind of give up. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Bill in Iowa. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Schroyer. Love the podcast. Hey, I got my InfoWars flags in the mail today. Come and jab it. We're all Alex Jones. Don't censor me and save the frog. Got them proudly hanging in front of my house.
Right on.
The reason I called, yeah, you bet. Well, hey, the reason I called in today is if your crew can go to my X account, it's at Iowa Wild Bill. And what I did today was I made my own frickin' sign, and I stood in front of my local Democratic Party office holding this sign up. And I live in a small town in Iowa. Anyways, sign says 350,000 missing children, child sex slavery, and I've had an arrow pointing to Kamala Harris. And then
this is on your X account.
Yes, sir. If you go to
at Iowa. Wild Bill Iowa.
Yeah,
there it is. Iowa, we got Wild you on the Bill screen. Yeah, go ahead. Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, I did that sign today, and now you know it's a small town. And I cannot believe the hate. This one guy stopped by, and he's like, older black gentleman walks across the street, reads my sign, and says, F Trump, you're an effing racist. And I'm like, well, sir, don't you care about the children? I got children of my own. Are they in sex slaves? No, F Trump. He just kept on walking. I mean, these people are so degenerate.
It's sad.
And, yeah, and then, you know, also I got a video on there. I went in that same office on my ex account, and I walked in there pretending to play dumb, you know. And when I walked in there, the first thing I was like, man, did you watch that debate? Eating cats and dogs? And they ate it up like crazy. I mean, you can watch the whole video. It's like 20 minutes long, but it's like, these people are really brain dead. There's no help for them.
No, and it's that's sad. What scares me. It's sad. I mean, again, yeah, liberalism is a mental disorder. It's not just a catchphrase. I can actually explain what it is. They are completely disconnected. They don't understand the phenomenon of action, reaction. They don't understand the phenomenon of choice, consequence. And then at the actual political level, as long as the policies they enact don't affect them, then they just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, hey, keep up the good work, brother. I'll get off the air so we can get someone else in. But love your show, man. Love you. Thanks for your incarceration for our freedom. I hate to say that, but it's true.
Really appreciate that. Hey, by the way, on the issue of migrants getting these jobs, and we found out that's what's going on in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. I'm just curious if it had something to do with the Boar's Head factory issue. And remember, they did post about how they wanted diversity and all this stuff. And, oh, you know, you can hire the non-citizen, the illegal immigrant, for pennies on the dollar that you can hire the American for. And then what do you know? Deaths, factory closures, and more. Boar's Head, Listeria outbreak timeline, when it started, deaths, lawsuit, factory closure. I wonder if the whole illegal, alien, criminal border invader hiring process had something to do with that, too. Boy, the timing would certainly make you wonder. There is a very large population in Virginia, just like Pennsylvania, just like Ohio, where the same thing is going on. So it already probably is deadly, folks. See, the media just covers it up. And they just tell you, you know, about Trump all day long, some BS story. So, that's what you get. All right. We got one segment left, long segment coming up. We'll continue to take calls. I got a couple other news stories as well. All right. We're going to take a couple more phone calls. We're going to cover a couple more news stories. Let's go to the phone lines first. Let's go to Ventura, calling in from California. Ventura, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Three quick things, real quick. Have your crew bring up Kamala Harris. It was a wrestler in the 80s. I don't know if you guys have covered that or not. But
wait. Say that again?
There was a professional wrestler called Kamala Harris.
Oh, okay. I thought you said was a wrestler. I was like, whoa. Okay, all right. Okay, go ahead.
I think your crew will bring it up within 15 seconds. What I'm worried about is if they do eventually get Trump and they take the missile or something, their real candidate is Vance. They're not going to have Kamala, okay? She's not going to be told what to do. She hasn't got the memo, okay? She's not going to be the president. It's going to be Vance because of his deep state ties. That I don't know why Trump picked him, but Vance is going to be the candidate if Trump doesn't have the heavenly protection that George Washington had. You know, people firing right at him and missing. They couldn't even kill his horse.
I mean, he acts like that's what he's got. I mean, you even heard Matt Gaetz, like, the person least concerned about it that's not trying to kill him is Trump himself.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. He shouldn't do any more campaigning, no more routes, no more plane. I mean, if they're not going to get him, you know, they're going to try for a plane. They've already got the patsy wound up. He's already been following them from town to town. He's got the rocket missile launcher. Yeah. It's already said and done.
Trump, I get the rally thing, and he has the big rallies, and they're great. Maybe they do a fundraiser. I don't know. If I'm Trump, though, I basically say I'm stopping all public events because of the assassination attempts. I'm getting real deep into the deep state. I'm talking about government corruption. I'm talking about the assassination of Kennedy. And I'm just really laying it out for the American people. And then maybe you can kind of focus. Maybe you have a couple rallies still before the election, but like massive rallies, like plan one. I'd plan one in Dallas, maybe plan one or two in big football stadiums and just get a huge turnout in a football dome. But that's what I would do. But he's probably not going to do that. He's probably going to keep campaigning, and he's probably going to continue playing golf. I mean, I would wonder if Trump could fill up Penn State's football stadium. It's like 120,000. I mean, that's what I'd do. I'd just be like, we're having a massive rally. So I'd come out, I'd say, we're pausing all public stuff, go silent. You can have the podcasters into Mar-a-Lago, whatever, just hunker down. Behind the scenes, plan some stuff with your inner circle. Maybe you smoke out a mole or a leaker and then say, okay, we're going to do four massive rallies before the election. Huge one in Penn State Arena, huge one in Dallas Cowboys Arena, you know, whatever. Pick a couple huge venues. The Vance theory I've never heard before, though. I can't say I necessarily agree, but, you know, these days you can't really throw anything out the window, Ventura. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Yeehaw in Canada. Yeehaw, go ahead.
Hi, Owen. Thanks for finally taking my call. I've been waiting for this moment for a while. Before I get into my main topic, I would like to say few words as a first-time caller. First, it's been a year that I've been watching InfoWars, and I wish I found out about you guys earlier. And as I live in this liberal city and a liberal country, it really gives me hope that at some the new world order can be defeated, and I really hope that this election could have a huge impact, could completely just save America and save the world from World War III.
Well, I will tell you, I wouldn't be here every day doing this broadcast if I didn't think that we could save America, save the Western world, or just save the world at large from this corrupt corporate global government they're trying to enslave us with. So I'm a true believer, and so is the crew and everybody else here.
Yes, and I pray for InfoWars and for you guys to stay on the air. And I also, that's why I decided I buy stuff from InfoWarsStore.com to keep you guys on the air. Even though I live in Canada, which is more expensive, I can get a cheaper price on Amazon Canada. But I know what's right, what's the right thing to do instead of funding these tech giants, globalistic giants who are a threat to America and to the world. So the main topic that I want to talk about is, do you think, I'm pretty sure you already mentioned that, but I feel like another way they could kill Trump, they'll try to assassinate Trump is by poisoning him, because they already tried twice by trying to kill with a sniper. But if they fail before the election, do you think they could declare a martial law right at the last second to prevent the election and maybe leave the martial law permanently? Like in Taiwan, like they did in Taiwan?
Yeah, or like Ukraine. And actually, the martial law statute in Ukraine that Zelensky was president under, you know, they sit here and talk about democracy. Zelensky's an illegitimate president. He's even passed the statute on the martial law declaration of times of war. So he's a complete illegitimate president. I would say the Democrats could do anything at this point. I would say that the deep state could do anything at this point. The question I think maybe might be, if they're going with a route like that, martial law, you know, they'd have to have some sort of a event that at least appears organic. And then the question would be, would they do it before the election or before the inauguration? But absolutely, the Democrat pipe dream would be to never have any elections and just have one party rule. So maybe they just go for broke at this point, and maybe we do see that before Trump wins or gets inaugurated. I really appreciate your support shopping with us. I'm glad that you found our show and you enjoy it every day. That really means a lot. Thank you for the call from Canada. Real quickly, a couple other stories. Elon Musk's blind sight from Neuralink. It appears they are having success, and it might be the first tech to allow blind people to see. And so this would basically be the equivalent of the cochlear ear implant, which has come a long way. Ironically enough, the first ever was Rush Limbaugh back decades ago. And basically with what they're working with now, it would be very kind of like an 8-bit vision thing. So if you got the implant and you were hearing, it's kind of like hearing something through a computer, probably not actual like natural sound. It's probably closer than it was years ago. But it's like hearing something through a computer, kind of like an 8-bit computer sound, but you can at least make out words and sounds. That's kind of what the idea is right now with where this blindsight device is. So imagine like an 8-bit screen, but it'll allow blind people to at least kind of see the world around them. And so this is what they're experimenting with. I don't think this technology is evil. I think it's a good thing. If you're blind and this can make you see, I think it's great. Just like if you're deaf and it can make it hear, it's great. The brain implant stuff, I get a little concerned about. But I don't think technology is inherently evil. I think it matters how we use technology. And I could go on a whole rant about AI, but we'll just leave it right there. So Elon Musk's blind sight device from Neuralink will enable even those who have lost both eyes and their optic nerve to see. So Elon Musk doing amazing stuff.
Did you hear about this story? And I'll just try to get through this quickly and back to phone calls. The young Mississippi girl, and there might be some other things going on with this, but here's what we know. Mississippi girl Carly Gregg, 15 years old, seen texting stepdad seconds after fatally shooting mom, who discovered her secret life. And apparently it was a secret life with drugs, and maybe there was some other stuff going on with this trans stuff. It's kind of unclear. Shocking excuse of Mississippi girl who filmed murdering her mother at family's home and then lured the stepfather to try to kill him too. And I think that the murder charge is stuck today. I think that became final today in court. But here is what they won't report to you on the mainstream media. The court heard that Gregg had used marijuana up until at least the last day prior to the alleged incident. She had also been prescribed Lexapro and Zoloft, both pharmaceutical medications for mood disorders. Now, the defense and Gregg herself were arguing that she blacked out and she didn't even remember shooting them. She literally has no memory of shooting her mom or stepdad. Now, that could just be an excuse by the lawyer, but I will say, I have known people, I've actually lived with people at one point in my life that were addicted to drugs like this, and blacking out like that is not actually rare at all. And I remember I had times with a friend of mine who was on similar drugs like that, and got addicted to them, and we'd just be having a seemingly normal day. We'd go out, whatever, and then the next day we'd be talking, reflecting. He'd be like, "Oh, I don't remember that at all." I mean, so she might literally have blacked out from these pharmaceutical drugs, folks. And so this is what they do, man. These pharmaceutical drugs are just poison. They're just poison. And, you know, there might be cases where they do help people. There might be cases where you've tried everything else. But I think, on average, these pharmaceutical drugs have been a huge net negative. And the rate that they prescribe them to kids is doing far more harm than good. Far more harm than good. So I'm not sure that's just a defense excuse she forgot. I've actually seen this stuff where you do literally black out and have no recollection. I've witnessed that with friends of mine. So I don't know. Just if you're out there, if you got kids out there, I would say avoid this poison at all costs. What a harrowing. And it's just, and then you see, and she just seems completely emotionless. Like she didn't even care. And she films it, and then she goes in the kitchen, texts her dad like nothing even happened. And that's what it is. It just removes all your emotion. It just makes you emotionless. I've witnessed this. It's scary stuff, man. Anything that does that to a kid should probably just be illegal, really. I mean, my God. All right. You know, that's almost it. I'll tell you what. What do you think, guys? Should we clear this video list? Or should we save clip 12 for later? I mean, this is crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just clear this video list. Let's just do it. Supposed Dr. Lindsay Doe, I guess she has a big following on social media or TikTok, standing up for pedophilia. Brace yourselves for clip 12.
.org. It's short for virtuous pedophiles. Not virtuous as in they're better than everyone because they're attracted to children, but virtuous like having moral standards
and a sexual orientation. Yeah. Yeah. There it is. What have I been warning you? If they show you the tops of the whites of their eyes every freaking time, Every freaking time. Folks, it's very well known. It's very well known. You get into advanced body language, advanced psychology classes. Very well known. They show you the tops of the whites of their eyes. They're inclined for psychotic behavior. But, I don't know, defending virtuous pedophiles. Make your own decision. Go ahead. Let's play it again. Go ahead.
Virtuous pedophiles. Not virtuous as in they're better than everyone because they're attracted to children, but virtuous like having moral standards and a sexual orientation that they have no control over, like the rest of us. Before you get all worked up,
what?
I'm talking about pedophilia, child molestation.
Okay. I can't even. Hold on. I'm so confused by what she says there. I mean, beyond the virtuous pedophile thing, I mean, I guess she's saying you have no control over, I'm done. I can't do it. I tried. Can't do it. Let's take a phone call. Let's try that. Let's go to Sarah in Ohio. Sarah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. How you doing tonight?
I'm a little disturbed right now, but thank you.
Well, hey, this isn't going to help. You mentioned earlier in the broadcast that nobody had heard much from Mike DeWine, right? Well, I came across an article a couple weeks ago in the local paper. And he wrote this article. It's just like an op-ed. It says, School Health Centers, A Win for Students' Families by Mike DeWine. I'm just going to read it. I think that's probably the most succinct way to do it. Earlier this month, I was proud to welcome Ohio's newest school-based health center at Springfield High School. The 5,000-square-foot facility is located right inside the school building, offering primary care, including well-child immunizations, acute care, and chronic disease management. Now, how do you suppose Springfield got money for this?
Well, I'm sure it came from the Biden administration.
Uh-huh. And it's also in this article that brags about one of the best things about this health center is they aren't just for students. They serve whole communities. It's a federally qualified health center. That means no patient will be turned away.
See, this is what I'm talking about. And this is why that video from that last lady, she's like, oh, things we have no control over. What are you talking about? If you don't have any control over your sexual urges, then there's something wrong with you. Okay? But I'm explaining, because it all ties into this too. And we have this idea, okay, well, a criminal is a guy that goes and robs a bank or, you know, mafia, gangster, whatever. We have all these concepts of criminals. And it's like nobody, the understanding of political criminals and criminals like this, it's like it doesn't reach the stream of consciousness because it's not in all the propaganda. It's not in all the Hollywood films. It's not in all the TV shows. This is a perfect example. They create something that doesn't exist. Transgender kids. They make an entire industry out of something that doesn't exist. It does not exist. Literally, not even anywhere in human history until, I don't know, 5 years ago with Democrats. And now what do you have? You have transgender doctors. You have transgender care. You have transgender care providers. You got transgender pills. And chemists. Now you got transgender facilities. Now there's a whole damn industry. They just make these things up and then they make money off of it. And it's like, perhaps just as criminal. It's like what they did with pickleball. Maybe more criminal. Pickleball might be more criminal. I'm being facetious. But it's the same thing. Nobody's heard of pickleball. Now it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. It's the same thing with trans kids. They do this with green energy, all this crap. So are you going to go visit the nice trans care gender vax facility?
Absolutely not. And I'm interested to see. I'm in another underserved community in Ohio, much like Springfield. It's just a little smaller. And I'm interested to see if they try to bring one here and how they go about doing it.
So
and,
lovely.
You know, I mean, obviously they're going to jab these kids, you know, in school.
So loving, so liberal. It's just disgusting what they do to these kids. Oh, my gosh. They hit them with all this indoctrination. They hit them with all these vaxes. They hit them with these pharmaceuticals. Breaks your heart, man. Breaks your heart. I mean, I'm just thankful. I mean, and now it's like you look back on it. It's like, holy smokes. How thankful are you that your parents didn't do that to you? And now it's just going to be worse. For me, it's like, I you know, for me, it's like, oh, I'm glad my parents didn't indoctrinate me with bull crap. I'm glad my parents didn't vaccinate me with bull crap. I'm glad my parents never put me on any pharmaceutical pills. Now you grow up, now it's like, gee golly, I'm glad my parents didn't chop my balls off. Let's go to Ralph in South Florida. Ralph, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Owen? I heard some good news today that Turbo Force is coming back in. You've been sold out for a little while. I've been on the Mineral Spirit or Mineral Fusion for the last couple of months. I lost like 15 pounds eating it, drinking it.
Hell yeah, good for you.
The reason why I'm calling is we fly out of Fort Lauderdale in like a 6 a.m. flight all the time because it's usually slow and there's nobody there. You can get right through the line. But the last five times, it's been packed, like out the door. I get there at 3:30, 2 hours before, 2.5 hours before the flight, and we barely make it through the flight. We've had a niece or a granddaughter miss her flight because of the same thing going on. And if you're standing in well, let's slow down. If you remember back in January, Spirit Airlines was bankrupt and JetBlue was going to buy them out. And somehow the government said, no, the deal can't happen.
I see what you're getting at.
Well, as you're in line, you know, you're trying to go through. They got all brand new machines. Only two of them are working. And you can pick out the people that aren't supposed to be there.
Oh, yeah. Just like you can in Springfield, Ohio. You might be onto something there, Ralph. You're probably onto something there, Ralph. And I'm out of time here because I want to finish the show with this amazing clip. Maybe make you a little emotional. But, yeah. They've been caught flying illegal immigrants. They use commercial airlines. They use private airlines, unmarked airlines. It's unbelievable. That does it for this week. We will be live this weekend. Stay tuned for updated news at Infowars.com and band.video. But this emotional testimony as we close the show.
About what President Trump's father, Fred Trump, did for myself, for my brother, for my sister, for my mother. 1974, my dad suffered a major heart attack. I went to the same school as Donald Trump, the Kew Forest School. 3 days after my father's burial, there was a knock on the door one school morning, 7 a.m. I answered the door. It's a distinguished gentleman. I was 10 years old. My father just died. The gentleman said, kid, call your mom. I called my mom from upstairs. She came down. The gentleman said to my mom, I am Fred Trump, Donald's father. And my mom says, yes, I know Donald went to the Kew Forest School. And Mr. Fred Trump said to my mom, yes, Mrs. Stratton, very sorry about Joseph's death. And what you don't know is I'm still on the Board of Trustees at the Kew Forest School. And this morning, I let Headmaster Mr. Philip Rogers know that from this day forward, myself, Fred Trump, out of my own pocket, is going to pay for your three children's tuition because I don't want the kids to have to go back into the public school system. And the tuition in 1974 was $2,500 per child, $7,500, which is about $80,000, $100,000 in today's money. And who would do that except the President Trump's father? The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, and they give the Trump family grief. The Trump family is a wonderful family, the entire family, And who else? Can you picture Joseph Biden or Kamala Harris doing that? No. All they care about is buying another mansion. I'm going to tell you, the Trump family is wonderful. I love you, Donald. I wish I could shake your hand. It was my mother's last dying wish to shake your hand and to thank your father, Fred Trump, for what he did for us kids in 1974 in Forest Hills.